Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Good morning. Last time we discussed concerning the Christ or Jesus, who is the Creator and who is equal to God the Father in creation. So we read the book of Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. I will read this again one more time to review it. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God and God's glory and the exact replication or representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. See, this the scripture is written after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, sometime in AD, years, particular time of his writing was not exactly known, but it is supposedly written sometime in AD 60, approximate time. Now, we do not have the exact date of the book of Hebrews or the author's name, but it was one of the apostles, look like, and most people agree that it could have been written by Apostle Paul. So the style and the writings and the subject matter all seems to be very close to the writing style of Paul the Apostle. See, here, regardless of who wrote it, this is a word of God which has a lot of explanation from the Old Testament. It talks about the Old Testament scriptures, which are referring to all the Old Testament scriptures, which is concerning the Christ or the Messiah. So here in the book of Hebrews, in the first chapter, Jesus Christ has been described as the Son of God, and He is the Creator of the universe, and He is appointed as the heir, which means the one who receives all the things owned by Father God, and the Son is the radiance of God's glory. So God's glory that we haven't seen in our own eyes, we only believe, and we have sort of faith through the scriptures. Now, in the Old Testament time, Moses and 70 elders went up to see the Lord. And that's in the book of Exodus. We can read that they saw the glory of the Lord, but there was no image, no shape or size. It was shown like a glorious, glorious light and with, sapphire color of pavement at the feet, some suggested to be, and there was no shape or no size. So God is spirit. Jesus told us in Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 24 and 23 and 24, that God's a spirit. He has His glorious presence, but He don't have a shape or a figure. Now, Jesus Christ is the complete expression of His person, like what is God? He is revealed in the body as in human form in Jesus Christ. So Christ, as I explained before, took birth in the spirit form because his entry to the womb of Mary, His earthly mother, was as a spirit. The spirit don't need any entry point. The spirit can enter any part of the world, any part of the buildings or walls or anything. There is nothing, no limitation for the spirit. So God as a spirit, Jesus who lived in the Father as His word. His word was spoken as the Father is speaking means all the scriptures Father spoke to the humanity is what the Bible is written up about. It says it's God inhaled. It's theonoustos in the book of, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, it says, all the scriptures are God-breathed or theonoustos in Greek. So that means it's the breath of God. It's a God breathed into the human person's spirit. It's a spirit-to-spirit communication. That's why God said, Jesus said that thou shalt worship your God, Lord God, in spirit, because it has to be from your heart of the matter, from your deeper part of the heart. The Holy Spirit dwells in you if you are a child of God. See, that's what happens when you accept Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not like you accepting Rama, Krishna, Buddha, or Muhammad, or Allah, or something. It's not like that. It has a difference. When you accept Christ in your heart, in your deeper, your acceptance like your own self, you are denying yourself, you are accepting Him, which means you are welcoming Him in your heart to live in you as a spirit God. That's what happens. So all those other people who were dead and they have no history says about the resurrection. So Krishna don't resurrect, Rama don't resurrect. You know, none of their gods and goddesses never resurrected. You know, their theories are some mystical theories, imaginations, you know. It's poetical, you know, a lot of them are poetries and songs. But they do have some real scriptures, they call it Vedas. You see, in the Vedas, it talks about Christ as well. So I will go through that later in my series of this message about salvation through Christ, that Jesus is the Christ. That's what this topic of this subject actually is, where I am reading already from the Hebrews and where it says Christ is the Son of the Most Holy God, because that's how we become the Son, because He is the Messiah. He is the Spirit God who the Father was exhaling out. He was talking. It means His breath through His theonoustos. He was speaking through the Spirit God Christ who lived in Him. So which means Father Himself is the Christ, or Christ is in the Father, which means there is two people, but it is two identity, two persons, but it is all by same God. So this is why there is a confusion in the Islam and is in the Judaism, that they say God is a one single unit, one God. But the Bible explains in the revelation of the New Testament where Christ has been revealed more clearly. You see, God has its time when He revealed things part by part. God did not reveal everything to Moses. God did not everything to Elijah or Elisha. God did not really reveal everything to any one human person. You see, even in the apostles, some certain particular things were revealed to Peter, and some most other things, some of them mainly for about the future of the Christians, the church, and the rapture and all those things, most revealed through Apostle Paul. So the revelation of the future revealed by Apostle John. So everything is not given to one person. So in the Old Testament as well, the Old Testament was continuing all the way till the Christ will come. Because the Old Testament left at Malachi, the prophecy of Malachi at the end, and then there was a 400-year period that God did not speak to any human being. That was a very long time. See, what was that all about? Almost wondering what is that supposed to be, that people who received the scripture was the Jewish people. It was the Judaic persons, the one Israelites, They were the one who received the law, the Torah, and the prophets from God through Moses and through the prophets. And there are other history books written by individual people at the time who were in the period of each time events were written, right? History in Persia, history in Babylon. I mean, you know, Book of Nehemiah, Book of Esther, you know, who became a queen of the Emperor Artaxerxes, and his became her queen, his queen. And all these things are part by part are written and became the Word of God, because history also required for people to turn back and look what happened to the people of God, which was Israel. So there is a one question that I will answer sometime, that why the God of Israel we have to follow. See, a lot of Hindus ask me this question, and even Islam. Why do we have to follow the God of Israel? Because God revealed himself into one man named Abraham. After the flood, after Noah's flood, worldwide flood, the big flood happened, that was a history. And after that, there was no one is following God. Even the children of Noah, who were presented at the ark, they survived with their wives, you know, and their father and mother. And they came out and started their life. You know, some Bible theologians say that the Noah's three sons, they divided the earth into three parts. See, the northwestern, you know, Asia was taken by Japheth, and also the Greek islands all the way to Europe and way up to Sweden, Switzerland, and those regions. Complete coverage of the Europe and Asia's northwestern territories all taken by the children of Japheth and Japheth. And Ham, the youngest son, he took the entire Africa, you know, and the land of Canaan. See, that's why Canaan was one of his grandsons. So also Egypt, which is called Mizraim, which is one of Ham's son, you know. So they took over those regions, and their descendants still live there, and other than some of them migrated to so many other countries. Now, where the Shemites lived, they lived in the location of middle of the East, in Middle East. They lived in Middle East. They still reside mostly in the Middle East. See, Judahites are not the only Semites. You know, Syrians are also Semites, because they were called one of the son of Shem was, you know, Aram, A-R-A-M, Aram. Aramites are the descendants of Shem. So the direct descendant of Shem, also Elam. Elam in the ancient of time was the name for Persia. Now then Persia became Iran. So the original people of Elam or Persia, Media, Parthia, see, Media and Parthia is part of Persia, or which is Iran today. All these people in Mesopotamia, which is in Iraq, and those regions completely are the children of Shem, okay? See, some people do not know that, but they believe only the Jewish people are Semites. No, there is a lot more other descendants of Shem also are Shemites. But out of the Shemites comes Abraham's forefathers come through the Shemite name, I mean their genealogy, and comes to Shem. Then a sort of few people come after that. It's written in the book of Genesis. And thereafter comes Abraham in the line. Now, Abraham was the one who was searching God. He was following God. He was the only one who was praying to God. And people did not exist in all the part of the world. In the Western Hemisphere, people did not spread out as it was today, and all the Africa was not occupied, not all the Middle Eastern countries were not occupied. So this was the time of the beginning of Noah's three sons. They are taking the land for themselves, all three regions. So you look up in the Wikipedia encyclopedia, you can read all this. Also, in the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter, where the table of nations, where the nations split away from Noah's three children. Okay, so when you go to understand the reason why we are following the God of Israel, because the only true God existed and appeared to Abraham at least four different main appearances, main encounters is written in the book of Genesis between God and Abraham. So he had promised that one of your sons, through your sons, or your descendants, or your seed, in the old English language, though your seed, through them, through him, the world will be blessed. So it is an Abrahamic covenant which we are still following. Why didn't we have Abraham born in India? Why didn't he born in Middle East, another country, or in the Western Hemisphere? Well, that is the only person who was searching God. And God had met with him. He spoke with him. He told him to follow me, and he followed him. And he one day even was ready to sacrifice his own only son, which God gave him. So that was a test. And then God saw he was obedient, and he started calling him my friend. Abraham became a friend of God. That doesn't mean Abraham became God, but he was called as the friend of God. So he communicated with him. So here we go. Why Jesus' birth took place in the Judaic family? Because the promises God gave it to Abraham, that through your seed, I will bless the world. See, how does he bless the world? By bringing them one unit, you see, one unit, which is called today Christians, and another unit which already existed, which was the children of Abraham, which is Israel. See, now today we call them Jewish people or Jews. They themselves address that. So there is some history behind it. I'm not able to go to that part right now, because the main point here is, who is the Christ? All the promises prophesied through one person who will be coming, his name is Messiah or Mashiach or the Savior or Joshua or Yeshua, which is called, it means Jehovah saves. See, Yahweh will save. This was told from the time of Abraham. And this was continuously told, and they were waiting for it. And Jesus was taking his birth in Mary, a very poorest of poor young teenage girl. Supposedly, we believe it was a young teenage girl. So she was the only one God selected to send his son. Now, I also explained why we call Jesus God's son. Because it was from him, he came out. The God, one trion God, one unit. God, that's a one unit, as Christ existed inside God the Father and Father in Christ. They were like one piece. They were like one piece with the Holy Spirit. Okay? See, some definition says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and the Son. See, it's all one. So they share one substance. See, they are one unit, one substance. So it's a difficult part for Jewish people to understand and Islam to understand why God has a son. Yes, God produced that who him was. He was in him. From the very beginning, if you think when God was existing, that time, in the beginning was the Word. The Word became, later became flesh. The Word was God. Word was with God. Word was become flesh. See, that's what we are trying to explain from the Bible. The revelation of the Old Testament is being explained through the coming of Messiah. If the Messiah hasn't came, there was no New Testament. Because God is continuously going until the end of the earth where the human lives will be transformation happens. See, that's called the end of the ages. Until that time, God is continuously has been working about the humanity's case, and that was written up to the prophet Malachi. Then God did not speak for 400 years. That I didn't say why it was in my suggestion that it was given a time for repentance. God has given time to the Judaic nation to repent, that they will have the time, that they will have their nation rebuild back again. So God required every human being repent. See, that was the first message God sent through John the Baptist. Repent, that the kingdom of God is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's right here. It is right at the door. The kingdom, God, you are waiting for the kingdom, right? See, this is what Israel was waiting for at the time. For after the destruction of the temple in AD 70, you know, and before that, they were waiting for the Messiah's arrival. And John the Baptist came at the right time to information. Yes, Messiah is at the door. He's coming. Your kingdom is going to be built. So now we have a little bit problem, maybe a big problem in the history about understanding the Messiah's arrival. See, the Messiah arrived exactly as God said, as Isaiah prophesied. And in a book of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, the virgin shall be with a son, with a child. See, that child actually is a son. So that child, that virgin's son or child, who is actually is the Messiah, because Isaiah said, that's how God told the people of Israel, this is how the Messiah comes. Then where will be he will be born? In Judah, in the tribe of David. Because God has a promise to David also that your descendant will sit on the throne forever. It's an unending kingdom. So this is the thing about kingdom, you know, kingdom of God, Christ and kingdom of God. So kingdom of Christ and kingdom of God was coming through a poor little baby who was born in a poor surroundings, in a manger he was born. There was no place in the inn or a hotel type of residence, so they have to rush in. And there was a little space found in the manger where he was born. You see, God brought his son in the lowest and the lowest maximum you can imagine in the human surroundings, in order to teach the Judaic people first and others after, the Gentiles afterwards, just to show how much humble you have to be, how much repentant you have to be, that we are all sinners, Bible says. No one does anything good. Everybody walk away from God, and God is looking from above heaven for anyone searching. Psalms 14. Please read. If you want the reference, Psalms 54, the repetition of the same information. God is looking for someone. Who will follow me? Who will listen to me? Well, that's what happened to us. We all walked away, everyone his own way. We went astray like sheep, Isaiah says in chapter 53. And then God was searching us in order to find us. I said that after 400-year period, there was no talk by God to Judaic people. You see, so they went ahead, some of their major guys went ahead and started writing books, so-called Apocrypha. That was not a God-given messages. They were writing similar stories of Daniel. They were writing books for, in the name of other people, right? Enoch. See, there is a book called Book of Enoch. There is a bell and dragon. It talks about Daniel's story. And so forth, there are sort of certain, quite a number of books, you know, Book of Judith, you know, such as many other books, you know, Esrada, you know, I don't have them memorized, all of the names of the Apocrypha. And they started writing books which is similar, but they have no value as the scripture. Because the scripture means God spoke. It's theonoustos. So if God spoke, scripture has power. It works. It's alive. It's active. It's like a sword which piercing the souls and spirit. It's piercing the body as it goes every part of anywhere that you can't even imagine. And it gets through everywhere and it does the job. See, that's what the scripture does. It is live and active and powerful. From the Genesis to Revelation, all the scripture, it's God spoken, which is active and it is infallible. It has no error. It is pure and holy and accepted. So this is the scripture we are talking about. So those apocryphas are not accepted, even though you can use them for references, you know, to study something on the side of the Bible, if you want to look at it, you know, that's all about it is. It does not inspire you. It doesn't inspire you. Scripture has to be inspiring. It has to be life, living word of God. So those apocryphas they wrote is sitting around, and some people, some Bibles have it, and you can get them with the Bible with the apocrypha as well. So here, that's why the God did not speak to them, because Daniel's prophecy chapter 9 says that there was a repentance to be conducted. Until that happens, the kingdom will not be physically established. Now, how did Jesus say the kingdom is done here? Now, John the Baptist say, here, the kingdom is at the entrance, it's right here. And because Jesus was coming. So Jesus brought the kingdom. God's kingdom, you know, kingdom of God was brought in by Jesus. That in that kingdom, there is love, joy, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, right? It has righteousness, it has peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So anyone who has these items in your heart, the kingdom of God is in you. That's what Jesus is talking about. That was John the Baptist was talking about. You have to repent first. Then John the Baptist was in jail, he was arrested, and then there Christ, the Lord Jesus, picked up the same message and he preached, repent, the kingdom of God is here. So we believe in Christ, accepting him as our Savior who came to save us. He died for our sins. As we continue this message in the next speech as well, may the Lord richly bless you. Thank you for listening.
Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. And if you have any more questions or if you'd like to contact me and talk more about this subject, please call me at 954-993-0491. And my email address is P like Peter, R like Robert, dot CHACKO, V like Victor, at gmail.com. That is PR dot CHACKOV at gmail.com.
Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Off Pest Control is there to help. After all, whose house is it anyway?